Mona Charon is a conservative thinker and writer. She is on the right, and she posted this today. If we buy coffee from Costa Rica and they buy nothing from us, which isn't true, but just as an illustration, in no sense has Costa Rica taken advantage of America. We gave them dollars and they gave us coffee in return. That is called commerce. And nearly every exchange between a willing buyer and a willing seller yields two winners, not one. Besides, as those first-term Trump advisors also tried to convey, those Costa Rican businessmen then take those dollars and buy American treasuries and other assets. There are no losers in this equation. One of those first-term Trump advisors is on a line. That's Mick Mulvaney. Hey, Mick, welcome back. You're on WGN Radio. Hi.
And it is a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
We see you on News Nation all the time, and you actually got a lot of press on other platforms the last day or so because of what you've been saying about the president's current advisors. What was the soundbite that has been heard around the world today?
Has it? I don't know. I don't think it should be making any news to say that I'd love to fire Peter Navarro. I mean, that there's no secret about that. Peter was a really, really tough person to have on the team. Not a reliable communicator. Love to undercut other people in the building. And look, I think the president would be better off without him, but that's the president's call, not mine.
Well, there's more than one person in the room, although Navarro is wearing the jacket on this along with the president. But I wonder how hard it would be to persuade the president that what's happening is not in the country's best interest.
Well, I don't know if that's been set yet. I think what they're waiting to see is, when they put the tariffs on, I think there was two schools of thought. And one of them was the Navarro school of thought, which was we're going to put tariffs on and we're going to leave them whatever come hell or high water because they're just good policy. They'll drive American manufacturing back, et cetera, rebuild the middle class, et cetera.
Yeah.
Then there was another school of thought that says, okay, we'll use the tariffs, but we'll use the tariffs as leverage to get better trade deals. And that's how we'll lift up the economy. I think the balance of power is switching right now away from Peter and towards the folks who want to use these tariffs as negotiating leverage.
Do you think they anticipated that there would be counter tariffs and then we would counter tariff and so we would be at 104 and 84% between us and China? Was that baked into their plan on this, do you think, Mick?
I know that during the first term when we had these meetings and had these discussions and had these policy considerations, that absolutely those possible contingencies were put in front of the president. Whether or not that's happened now, I don't know because I'm not in the room. But I can say this. If no one told the president that, everybody told the president this would be great, this would be easy, this would be a piece of cake, then he needs to get new advisors.
How is it that the president has this much power to regulate the tariffs?
Oh, that's by law. Congress gave up a long time ago. Congress, when tariffs stopped being a primary source of income to the United States government, Congress started to lose a little bit of interest in them. They were looked at more as a foreign policy tool than they were a revenue tool. And for that reason, for a bunch of reasons, Congress gave, by law, a bunch of authority to the presidents, all presidents, to sort of do these types of deals. Congress still has to approve free trade deals and all those types of things, the big agreements that look like treaties. But when it comes to the smaller sort of micro approach on a country-by-country basis, the authority now lies with the president. Congress could change that. That would require Congress in passing a bill to do it and getting the president to sign it. So my guess is it's not going to change anytime soon.
I wonder what you think about the president's stubbornness. That is, if the evidence on the ground is that this isn't working, right, that you're going to tank the economy and it's going to be a long time to recover, China's playing harder ball than we thought. I wonder if he can be persuaded or will he be sufficiently embarrassed and stubborn to blink? It's a game of chicken now that he absolutely, you know him better than most. So what's your thought about that?
One man's stubbornness is another man's dedication.
Yeah.
I think what the president is trying to figure out right now is what's the next best play. He knew he was going to put tariffs on. He wanted to put tariffs on. He told everybody during the election he was going to put tariffs on. But I think right now he's trying to figure out, was Peter Navarro right, and we're going to leave these tariffs forever, or are these really good leverage for me to get fair trade deals that are going to help American manufacturers and American the American economy. I think that's the analysis he's going through right now. Tariffs are on. That chess move has been played. The next move, I think, is what he's working on.
Well, what is Peter Navarro doing then that is wrong? If this was the president's idea from the outset, what is Navarro saying or doing that would get him fired?
Oh, well, a couple of things. I think, again, if he's one of the people who didn't tell the president there could be a huge backlash against this, that's bad staff work. You're supposed to give the president good information and let the president make decisions. Staff isn't supposed to make decisions. So if he didn't provide that information, that on itself would be a fireable offense. But Peter was also out on television for weeks. As you mentioned, he's wearing the jacket. He's the face of this policy. And one of the things he would say to anybody who was listening is that these tariffs are going to raise $6 trillion over 10 years, and that we can use it to help pay down the deficit. I want some of what Peter is smoking, if that's really what he thinks was going to happen here. That's such bad input and such bad advice as to also be a terminal offense. So look, I'm no Peter Navarro fan. He and I have had our run-ins over the course of the past several years. I'm interested in the president getting the best information possible. I'm interested in the public getting the best information possible.
Well,
I don't think that's happening.
Does this happen? Mick Mulvaney's on a phone line for just a couple more minutes, a four-term member of Congress. He was the chief of staff for Donald Trump in his first term. And I wonder if Donald Trump only hears affirming things. It's largely reported that he doesn't like to hear negative information. He likes positive feedback. He watches Fox News. Well, he watches everything, it seems. But it's difficult for people to tell him something he doesn't want to hear. Heck, when he was on the dais on a podium with Jamie Dimon a week ago, Jamie Dimon did not say one thing to push back on the president's plan. Everybody's afraid to be the naysayer. Is that a fair assessment? I mean, I wonder how easy it is to get negative information in the room.
It's probably a fair assessment, but it's not specific to Donald Trump. Look, there's a reason that chiefs of staff have a life expectancy of roughly 15 months, which is what I lasted. You're the only person in the administration who gets paid to tell the president stuff he doesn't want to hear. That is the job. Yes, you're absolutely right. Someone needs to be doing it. I don't know if it's happening or not. Keep in mind, it's entirely possible.
How would you do it?
I don't go too much into that, but there's ways to communicate to Donald Trump, usually in private, almost always in private. And that's the case with a lot of high achieving individuals. They don't want to be called down or pointed out to be wrong in front of other folks.
He needs an off ramp. He needs an off ramp, doesn't he?
He does. Well, I think that the tariff deals that, for example, other countries are offering is the off ramp. And it's a huge win for the country if he gets it. Look, if we get a free trade deal with Vietnam or Japan out of this, and we get rid of all the non-tariff barriers, for example, that the Koreans have put in our cars for years. It's not just tariffs. It's the fact that there's absurd safety requirements to sell American cars in Korea. If he can get rid of that, that's a huge success. Again, the only time will tell. And right now we see all the negative stuff. We're not sure if the positive benefits will come, but believe me, the White House is hoping that they do.
Last question. What do you think the next step is then? What happens today or tomorrow?
Yeah, they have to put a win on the board. The Wall Street has stopped listening to them. The messages coming out of the White House are so confusing. Are the tariffs on forever? Are these leverage? Are we using them to raise money? Are we using them to cut deals? That Wall Street, I think, and the public want to see a deal. They want to see action now more so than words. Maybe they figured out a good rule of thumb in Washington, D.C. You believe what people say do a lot more than what they say. And I think the White House should be focusing on that.
That's so true. Carolyn Leavitt's first question yesterday at the press conference was about this. And she said that there's no compromise on the tariffs and the president will negotiate with the countries. And I thought, what did you just say? Up is not down. It's got to be one or the other. Mick, we'll watch you on TV, News Nation regularly, and we'll call you again. Thanks for your time today.
It's always a pleasure. Thanks.